My name is John Saropoulos. I'm a freelance journalist for Al Jazeera, The Daily Beast, NPR, and PBS NewsHour. I work out of Athens, and the last few years I've been covering the Greek crisis, understandably. The European crisis came on the end of the American banking and financial sector crisis in the autumn of 2008 rather than the spring. And it took on a different form, an inverted form, whereas in America, the problem was that banks had become insolvent by buying up too much overvalued, substandard, securitized mortgages. And then the public sector had to come in and bail them out at a cost of more than $600 billion. In Europe, what happened was that the banks that had exposure to these American products suffered at first. And then, contrary to what had happened in America, yes, state money was used to bail them out, but after the plan put forward by Gordon Brown, then British Prime Minister, the state in each European case did not simply buy out the toxic assets from underneath the banks, leaving them clean and solvent. The state bought shares in the banks. So the banks were forced to surrender control to the extent that they needed government money. In Greece, it took an inverted form, however. The Greek banks were not exposed to American bad debt. It was the government that was the problem. The government was the source of the bad debt rather than the housing market. It had sold huge amounts of bonds to the Greek banks, as well as to other European banks, that it could no longer honor. March of 2010 was the last sale of a multiple-year Greek bond. It went for 6.5% interest. After that, Greece did not attempt to sell any more multiple-year bonds because it knew that it simply couldn't afford that interest rate anymore, and that's what brought on its bailout. But there, you see, the problem began with bad state debt, which then infected the banks, rather than bad bank debt, which was bailed out by the state. So the American crisis, as it moved over into Europe, was dealt with differently, and in Greece it took a completely inverted form altogether. The austerity measures started out in the state sector. In the spring of 2010, when the socialist government of George Papandreou realized it had to do something to cut government expenditures, it decided to first, horizontally, across the board, cut public state worker payroll packages. Not the salary, sort of the core of the payroll, which is the salaries, but the above salary benefits. In Greece, there's a very complex system of benefits, which over the years, public sector unions have negotiated for themselves. Things like, on the basis of your base salary, a certain percentage for every degree that you've earned in university, a certain percentage for every child you've fathered or mothered, a certain benefit for other forms of work experience that you may be bringing to the job, and there are some totally bizarre sort of payouts. There are benefits for training, which are typically abused. They're not used for training; they're used for holidays abroad, it was later revealed, and so on. So the Prime Minister decided he was going to take a 10% cut off those benefits and not touch the core salary. That 10% cut proved to be inadequate to save the 2010 budget, so then it was repeated later in the year, so it amounted to 20%. Later on, in the autumn of 2011, the core salaries were, in fact, affected. At that point, the government had become desperate enough to say that it was going to take all the different payrolls in the state sector and streamline them. There was going to be a single payroll. Because up until then, certain ministries were better paid than others, depending on how powerful their union was and how well they could negotiate their position. And the same payroll was applied to all state companies as well, state concerns. You know, there's a state metal works, there's a, you know, the power company is a state monopoly, virtual monopoly. It's no longer 100% of power generation, but and so on. That was the main chunk of the pain to the public sector. But as the government has become increasingly desperate to close the deficit over the last couple of years, it's also done things to the private sector. Minimum wage was reduced so that your take-home pay now, rather than being 637 euros a month, if I remember rightly, is just below 500. Which brings Greek pay packages in the private sector awfully close to Bulgarian pay packages. It became impossible to maintain the 12,000 euro tax, non-taxable threshold. You used to be taxed above 12,000 euro. Now, that was first changed to 8,000, then 5,000, and now it seems that it's going to be eliminated for the self-employed, who typically under-declare. A new solidarity tax was imposed on everyone who earns a salary, state and private sector, between 1% and 3% of income. So that just raised income tax by up to 3 points. And a new property tax in September last year was levied on every property in the land, professional and private. So you have to remember, this is a culture where if you've paid for your house, it's yours. There wasn't really any kind of property tax of any estimable size in Greece before. There was a kind of property fee that you paid it through your municipal taxes, and it was calculated on the square footage of your house, and it was basically to pay for rubbish collection and so on. That now, that property tax is something that is very estimable. It's anything between 50 cents and 14 euro on per square meter, which is nine square feet. What else has been done? Pensions have been cut. At first, the government reduced pensions above 2,500 euro. Then it said we're going to reduce pensions above 1,200 euro. Now they're thinking of touching pensions above 1,000 euro. And again, in the area of pensions, there are auxiliary pensions and primary pensions, and you can get into the order in which these things are touched. Typically, the auxiliary is touched first, but now primary pensions are also being touched. And the other things, of course, that have to happen as of January 1st, they've got to be passed this month in Parliament, are further cuts to public sector pay, further cuts to pensions, and for the first time, special payrolls. Anything that involves the security of the state, the armed forces, the police, the Coast Guard, the diplomatic corps, are considered special payrolls. They haven't been touched so far. Now they are going to suffer a 10% cut to save between 300 million and half a billion euro a year. So these things are coming in January. And the government has said it's got to raise 2.5 billion euro through new taxes. So I expect new taxes as well in the new year. That's an outline of pretty much all the austerity measures that we've seen in the last couple of years. Well, the European Union has done things that were unthought of before the crisis. First of all, the European Central Bank, which was set up as a profit-making bank, with very deep pockets, assets of roughly a trillion euros from all 17 member states of the eurozone, has declared under the new management of Mario Draghi that it will, at a certain point, kick in a form of assistance that previously hadn't been formalized, which is to buy up bonds issued by eurozone member states. And the point at which it will do that, it didn't specify. It left itself some discretionary wiggle room. But the aim of the policy is clear. It's in order to rescue Eurozone member states' ability to borrow from the markets by not allowing their bonds to fall below a certain value. So that's one thing that has never been agreed to unanimously. In fact, the Germans voted against it. And in September last year, 2011, the German board member Jürgen Stark had resigned over his disagreement with the extent to which the ECB was at that time helping out member states in the Eurozone. Now it's become an official position of the ECB. So it's moved even further from the German position. Moving backwards in time from the ECB, EFSF and the European Union specializes in horribly arcane acronyms. The European Financial Stability Facility, set up in 2010 in order to provide immediate, rapid reaction bailout assistance to countries like Greece. Greece was the reason why it was set up. 440 billion euros were pledged to that. After the EFSF was rapidly set up, the ESM, the European Stability Mechanism, was set up as a permanent replacement of the EFSF. So member states realized that they were going to have a standby fund permanently in place to bail out countries with bad sovereign debt like Greece in order to protect the Eurozone from market speculation. And something like 500 billion euro were pledged to that. So together, the EFSF and the ESM have almost €1 trillion to play with. That's enough to pay out bailouts to Greece, which amount to roughly 200 billion euro at the moment, the two bailouts together. And that's enough to bail out Portugal and Ireland. All three countries have now come under bailout contracts, if you like, with the EFSF. But it is not enough, ultimately, to bail out Spain and Italy if their bonds are attacked by markets and fall below a certain value, which is why the ECB additionally kicked in its level of assistance. So institutions have been set up already that whose role is to defend the value of the euro, the value of sovereign debt within the eurozone, and the policy has been accepted and voted on in principle over the next 15 years to bring about fiscal union, which means that every banking market in the EU, in the Eurozone, all 17 banking markets will eventually have to agree to a common set of rules. The banks will have to be answerable to a single authority, the ECB, and the idea is for that fiscal union, financial union rather, to form the basis of an eventual fiscal union. I'll bore you with one last detail, the fiscal compact that was brought forward largely by the Germans in March of this year, says that every country has to obey by certain rules of fiscal discipline. It basically reinforces what was, up until now, the Stability and Growth Pact, which was a gentleman's agreement. It was an agreement in principle that your deficit wouldn't exceed 3% of the GDP per year, your inflation wouldn't exceed 3% a year, and your total aggregate national debt wouldn't exceed 60% of GDP. And because countries didn't stick to that, this new fiscal compact came in March this year to say that there will be consequences if you don't stick to those guidelines. So Europe is clearly moving forward toward eventual financial and fiscal union, and it has put in place two massive funds, EFSF, ESM, and backed them up with the ECB, so a total of about €2 trillion there in order to bolster the value of bonds in the meantime. Things that 2 years ago were, I think, basically unthinkable.